potent, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
You're listening to the new Spirit FM, Christian hit music.
Hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home.
Good evening to our listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben. Thank you for tuning in. It's always a privilege to come your way. And it's been interesting, the last six editions of this program. We've had a few executives be with us, sharing a lot of things. Unfortunately, this evening, they are out of town, but I'm still talking about it, the parenting issues and the school issues. And it's been a blessing having them, because people have learned so much. People have gotten to understand some of the things happening in the schools and the challenges and the way they can go about communicating with their children and how to pray for them and all. It's very important we know these things and understand these things, because clearly we are not in ordinary times. The challenges that this generation faces, especially parenting, is monumental, and we just can't go the same way we've been doing things years back, because what confronts this generation is completely different compared to what previous generations encountered. And I believe this evening, as you listen to this talk as well, you'll be blessed, you learn something. And I open the phone lines at a point in time for other parents also to share some views. And this week I went to one client I work with, and I was having a chat with one of that instructor, and she told me, like, they went to a meeting. No, it was last week, yeah. And she was telling me how they went to a PTA meeting, and the school, they were advising parents to do something about the children having devices and the phones and all that's like using, being exposed to them so long, because now they've noticed that some of the children cannot even integrate and communicate and mingle with their mates in class and during the break and playtime and all. And I was very worried, because when a child, we are talking of children in lower primary, if they cannot mingle and socialize with their peers in class, and because they've gotten so used to the digital devices, and now they seem withdrawn, and the effect of it is having an impact, and to the point where teachers can observe and caution, then it's worrying. Parents really need to be aware of these things we talk about, because it's really causing so much harm. And the worrying part of it all is some parents are actually, this whole SU thing we're discussing and all, it's a two-sided thing. There's the child aspect in terms of the child being exposed to things, or the child being delinquent and doing things out of their own way and trying to explore, and peer pressure and all that. That's one aspect of it. But the second aspect is the parental aspect, because there are also those that the parents can solely be blamed because of lack of, you know, oversight, responsibility, let me put it that way, both physical and spiritual. So because of that lack of oversight, responsibility as parents, their children have gotten into all sorts of character, changes and all that. And I believe it's very important that parents understand these things we are talking about, that it's not that you are being too hard on your children, or you are not being you are just being hard, you just don't want them to have their freedom. It's not about freedom, it's about habits and lifestyles that can damage the child as they grow up. And that, this is the seriousness of this whole thing, because seriously, last year, most mornings I go out for morning walk and jog. I combine sometimes walking alone, sometimes a little jog and all that exercise. And I saw this little child, this girl, if I'm not making a mistake, is less than 8 years. And this girl was holding a tablet, walking on the way to school, the school bag behind her. And she was playing on a tablet while I was going to school. And I was out of shock, just staring at her, looking at her. And it's like, whose child is this? Fine, it could be that the child stole, maybe the parents have hidden it and she managed to steal it and whatever. But ultimately, still, parents have questions to answer. It's just obvious, see. And the digitization is where a lot of things are being picked from, a lot. So from the sexual issues to the drug issues to the occultism issues, a lot of it is coming from the digital platform. So from the movies, from the social media, from the chat forums, from all the various, these systems are becoming the platforms where a lot of knowledge is being acquired, a lot of know-how is tried and all that they communicate. A lot is happening from these platforms. So that's why it's not as simple as, you let them use it when they grow. It's about understanding the dangers involved and being able to communicate to the child the reasons why there's limited, there's restricted usage. So it's like you control how long they use these things, because it cannot be just, you just can't give a child these devices, use it endlessly without any controls. That would be a big mistake. Unfortunately, we are seeing it happening. Parents are just checking their responsibility because, they just think, having it is nice, it just helps the child also fit into the modern changes. Everybody is having a type of thing, so less my child who I can afford. It's not helping. I don't know whether I said it here, but there was this case I was told of where a man noticed that the child was having delayed speech issues, like in speaking, a toddler growing up. And in speaking to this other friend of mine, we are all in the Ghana Internet Safety Foundation, he immediately identified the situation, because this little toddler has the tablets that is always being used. So apparently there's no communication between the parents and the child. It's all about the tablet. So the child is just using the tablets constantly, and there's little human interaction, like parent to child then. So it has caused a psychological effect, the speech has delayed because if you are not talking, I mean, clearly, you see. So when the father got to know this and then worked on it, indeed there was an improvement. See, so you see, a lot is happening in this space, this digital space, I mean, let me call it that way, that parents have to understand. I'm discussing this aspect because if we understand this aspect right, it solves a lot of things. Because when we don't fix it and it worsens, now we are going to have a generation. No, we are going to have, we're already having them, because we are having people who cannot effectively communicate, even in their university age group. Like, they are getting to university, they are in the university, they finish university, and they are struggling to fit into the society effectively because some have issues with how to really fit into the society. And because they've been just digital, so no integration, how to really communicate and all. It's a serious issue. It's a serious issue. So we are having people who are in their late adult age and have just no idea how to adapt to things, because all these things are now complications in their lives, because social media has taken their lives. Their closest friends are all on social media. That's where they spend all the time. And it's all about social media. I was told of a case where someone was doing an event and was expecting all the, I mean, the friends, as many as they are on social media, to attend and all that, and not even one attended, and this became a whole psychological issue for the person, you know. Because you see, these are, I mean, yes, of course, I mean, not to undermine the fact that there are still good friends that can be made online, no doubt about it. I mean, there's one friend I have now who I would classify as a good friend, and it was on Facebook, when I was active on Facebook, that we just got to meet each other, and then our comments and all that, we just became friends. So one day in Accra, I decided to visit him at the office, and we met for the first time. Apparently he wasn't even staying a bit close where I am in Accra. So I mean, since then, it's been almost 8 years, 9 years now, we are still in touch. And then his wedding, he invites me to his engagement. I go there, and it's like the wife is an old friend as well. So I mean, our friendship even became stronger. So yes, it's possible to meet people like that. It's possible. But when that is the only life you have, that social space, online, digital space, integrating with normal human beings is an issue. And you see, a lot of these things are pushing people into the realm of feeling lonely, the psychological effects. So some eventually want to get into these drugs, they get into the solitude, they are just lonely, solitude lifestyle. So the temptation to veer into drugs becomes very high. The temptation to veer into occultism becomes very high, because they feel so lonely, they feel no one likes them, no one understands them, so they want to try things. So when the temptation comes, when someone introduces them to any of these things we are talking about, the drugs, the occultism, the LGBT, and it's like money is associated with it and all that, then the temptation is able to pull some of them in there. So some of the things we are talking about, we've been talking about in the last 6 weeks regarding the schools, what is happening and all that, some of it, the genesis is from these things I'm discussing, in terms of the devices that parents allow them, and then the habits are formed. They are in the school, when they go home, they continue with whatever they are doing. So parents need to wake up. Parents, you know, for some, the harm has been caused already, but then now you have to look at the mitigation. I mean, how do you really reduce the impact, and then how do you address it effectively? And this is where the issue of prayer and then communication and then the word, all these things, and counseling, all these things come up. It's a combination. But then after hearing these things as a parent, if you've been able to identify some weaknesses in how you've been parenting in terms of your communication with your children and your child, and especially those in the teens, the SHS and GHS, how well are you able to communicate with them? Because it's a major sign, as we spoke about, it's a major issue that if we don't get it right, can really bring issues to the life of the child, as we've been saying the last few weeks. So having this knowledge as a parent is important. So yes, you understand, you know what is happening. Now the role of the parent is to ensure that some things are put in place to control. And that's why, for those that parents listening who have younger children, especially those in the primary category, primary school category, have an opportunity to shape them well. For those in the teens, yes, sometimes the mistakes have happened. You've made the mistakes, but you can still, remedy it and all. But for those in the primary, it's far easier to start some things now, so that you don't wait for them to, grow and then it becomes complicated and all that. And sometimes you have to accept your failures as a parent, that you've not done well, you've made mistakes, it's your lack of knowledge about some things have caused some mistakes and all that. You should be able to accept that reality, and then now the way forward is what you look at. How do you go about it? And for the children, especially the toddlers and then those in the primary and all that, it's very unfortunate, but some parents are allowing them to have unlimited access to devices. It is wrong, plain wrong. Learn to control their access to devices. Even if you have them, they have them and all that, it should be controlled. Experts are advising no more than 2 hours a day of screen time, because there's a lot of evidence now that shows that continual usage and exposure to the screen time, to the screen, sorry, it's causing effects. Aside the eye and all that, there is the other side of it, the various consequences, the dopamine effects, how the chemicals in the brain, how they react to it, like seeking satisfaction through these devices, and then it's becoming a habit is formed and all. So parents need to really be able to hold on to these restrictions, enforce that you control the usage, but it should go with communication. It's let them understand why you are taking some steps now, because it's for their own good. And this is where the communication comes in. You should be able to communicate with them the reasons why you are doing what you are doing, and the fact that it's for their own good. It's not just some laws that you are bringing at home to stop them from enjoying themselves and all that, but it's purely to ensure that they don't make the mistakes that you want to save them from. So this is where the communication comes in. But aside these physical things, for instance, this issue of devices. This week I was having a chat with someone, and I was telling them that as to how we think these things are good for us, it's an interesting mistake that we've made as parents, or we are making, because the people who design these things know the addiction that comes with it. So as I mentioned the other time, the issue of Steve Jobs, for instance, delaying giving devices to the children clearly is an example of how, if Steve Jobs wanted to give custom made iPhones and iPads to the children. It's his company. They do it. They manufacture it. It can be customized for the children. Whatever way, it could be done easily. But he didn't make that mistake. He rather delayed giving them access to these devices till they were of age. Same Bill Gates also delayed giving devices to children, their children, till they were of age. And so when you have these people, leaders in the tech industry, who know the consequences of these devices being given to younger children or children at that early age, then it should tell us that there's more to it than we think. So the one who has it, who designed it, who developed it, produces it, is refraining access to the children till they are of age. And we, the ones who are taking hard-earned money to buy it, rather think we are doing them good by giving it to them at an early age. That's quite an interesting thing. Think about it, because if the one who did it, who designed it, he's not giving it to the children, or didn't give it to the children, then why are you, the one buying? He's doing the opposite. This is the irony of it. This is the reality. They know the consequences. Same social media. They restrict them. Even they themselves limit their usage, because they know it's addictive. They know it. So if they know the addiction that comes with it. Today I read the report and I was amazed that some children as young as 2, I couldn't believe when I read it. Daily Mail. And it's like, come on, children as young as 2 are being exposed to social media. And it's like, come on. What is wrong? Because you can't tell me a 2-year-old can find his or her way to social media without the help of any parent. So clearly, or not parent person, but an older person. So if children as young as that age are beginning to get exposed to social media, what is the reason? What is the basis for it? Unfortunately, this is it's happening. And it's very sad, because if you're a parent and you would allow your child to get into this at that early age, please, let's solve this problem and ensure that we save a generation. Because you see, if we don't, the same consequence of it, these things, will come back to haunt us. Last year there was this case, there were two cases that happened last year, where in one case, a boy, the mother was worried about the boy's attitude to doing homeworks and assignments or whatever from school, and the boy is just always playing games after school and all that. So the mother scolded the child, this boy, I've forgotten the age, but it's like in the teens thereabout. And after the rebuke and the scolding, whatever, this child waits for the mother to sleep and then takes an axe and butchers the mother to death. And when I read that report, that story, it's like, wow. A lot of things to ponder about in this situation. So, a child gets exposed to devices at an early age, gets addicted, gets hooked to the systems. Now, the mother sees the harm that the same devices that she, the mother, bought has caused or is causing in the child's life. So now decides to complain and try to do something about it because it's affecting academics, and now gets killed by the loving child. The same child that she loves is killed by this child because the device that this mother bought for the child has been able to get this boy addicted to the point where the boy sees the mother as a threat to his satisfaction online, or I mean playing games online, the competitive online online and all that. This is some of the things we talk about, because you see, I mean, the mother didn't envisage that this will happen. I mean, clearly the mother had no idea. At the time when the mother started buying the games and or exposing the child to the devices and playing, the mother never envisaged that one day her death will be as a result of this same thing that she's buying for the child. She didn't. Has she known? Has she gotten a vision, or a prophet had told her that your one day your son will kill you because of the devices or the whatever you are buying for him? Perhaps she would have advised herself, but she didn't know. And years down the line, in the teens, this child kills the mom. Another case happened in which he is 21 years, I think. Yes, if I remember right, 22 thereabout. And the parents, both the mother and father, complained that he should, stop playing the games. He's becoming too addicted, and then he should get a job and all that. And that one too, out of the anger of the constant rebuke and the whatever, the calling of getting a job and get serious and stop playing the games continually and all that, gets furious and kills either the mother or one of the parents and seriously wounds the other. You see, and I was telling a friend, when I remember when that report came up, I was telling a friend, I see, under normal circumstance, a child will not kill the parents. Under normal circumstance, a child will not want to kill, will not, even think of killing the parents. But under abnormal circumstances, a child killing the parents is a possibility, because other factors come into the equation. Now, these other factors can be fed by other things. So the addiction is fed to the point where he feels you trying to stop him, you now are a threat, so you should be eliminated. And these are the dangers. You see, so when we express our worries and our caution about these things, it's not because we don't want your children to enjoy these things, or we don't want you to, let them feel good and all that. But it's about the consequences that can be lurking in the dark, in the shadows, where it's unknown. Some of the consequences, like these things, the parents had no idea that their children would kill them. They had no idea, because so far as they are concerned, they are still living with their normal child that they gave birth to. So, well, yes, the child may be doing some things they are not happy about, but I don't think they ever thought that this child would take a knife, or would take an axe, or would take a gun and kill the parents. I don't think they envisage that, but it becomes a reality. So you see, when we fail to see the dangers, and somebody is drawing our attention to the dangers, it is important we pay heed and understand the issues at stake. Because you see, if we underestimate the effect of these addictions, two of the consequences, two cases I just gave, the case that this I just gave, are some of the consequences that can arise from these addictions. So under these conditions of addictions, the child behaves and does things that you'll be amazed, like killing. There are cases, brother killing sister over, flimsy things, not allowing him to also play with a tablet after it's her turn or his turn. And some of these things, there are cases that have happened, and you would wonder, why would you kill your sibling over a game? But it's happening. You see, so when we express these things, it's to let you understand the severity of some of these habits that it seems normal. Oh, everybody is playing games. Everybody is on social media. Everybody is doing this. Everybody is watching this. But then, in the extreme stage of it, and sometimes you will not know how extreme the child has gone. Yes, because, I mean, extreme in everything is determined by a lot of factors. How long it's been, the person has been using it, how serious the person is when using it, and then, you know, the love and all. I mean, all these things come up. So, as to how extreme your child may go in whatever things they do online, you cannot know. So, you see, strange things happen, and it's like, I didn't believe my child could do this. Yes, some parents get to the point where it's like this, they are shocked. They didn't imagine their child could do this. But then it has happened. Because when the things were forming at the early stages, the parents turned a blind eye and didn't think it was anything big deal. Oh, it's not a big deal. It's like everybody's doing it. Everybody's going, everybody. So we just gloss over it. And then it becomes a mountain. Now it becomes difficult to deal with. That's why this evening I've just started with these cautions, so that the backdrop of the SU discussions we've had, God willing, next week we'll be continuing. But reflecting on the things we've heard, the drug usage, the sexual whatever issues, the occultism issues, you know, the issues of money and being, you know, wanting to have all the things in school and all, which is leading people to do the extremes as well. It's something that we should, as parents, understand that, as I said, they pick some of these things, yes, apart from what they pick in school and all that, but there are other consequences, other things that can be driving these things. And devices is one. You know, it's important that we understand that the phones, you know, it's as if by design, the child should have it, the child should have the phone, the child should have a phone. You know, I mean, I've heard of instances where children young as 10, 11 and all, having iPhone, various iPhone brands and all, I mean models and all, and you ask yourself, why would a parent do this? Why would a parent do this? You see, so the child gets exposed to it, and it's like, it starts that life of, you know, I'm using this, I'm using that, I have this, I have that. So now, when they are getting older into the GHS and to the SHS, it continues, and they would want to go higher. And you cannot guarantee the continual supplies of some of these things. I mean, you know, you can't know. Life can be some way. So what then happens to a child who starts using these things at an early age and gets used to, you know, this high brand, and it's like, yes, so we want to sustain it. Then anything to do to just get continual supply of that thing, it will be done. See, so a lot, sometimes we hear things and then you realize that it didn't just start one day. It started years ago by some wrong seeds the parents sowed in the life of the child. Unconsciously, genuinely, I don't think these parents can understand the poison they are putting in the hands of their children. If you tell them, they will try and justify and why it's important and blah blah blah. But if that understanding, like people who listen to this program, Issues of Life, thankfully a lot understand these things, because I've addressed it in various ways over the years. I mean, the e-parenting series and all that, I've had experts join me and all. So some really understand these things, and I'm glad, I thank God that yes, it's made an impact in the lives of some people. But we have a lot of new listeners as well, so that's why sometimes we have to repeat these things for their sake. And there will be first time listeners online, it will be shared, and like that's the first time they are hearing about these things. So parents, you have a role to play. You have a role to play, a serious role to play now, because the way things are going, you just can't allow your child to just have their freedoms. I mean, digital freedom, let me put it that way, without any restrictions. There should be and there must be. Yes, there should be and there must be. Because if you just allow them, you'll be shocked by the things that will come up years down the line. And you wouldn't want to be surprised by some things that you hear later in the, you know, down the line, that oh, this is this, that your child and this, your child is involved in this and all these things. So let's be careful as parents, and I believe God will help us. I'll be back after this short interlude with this song by Carman.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give to us our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
It's just around the corner.
We have the choice to either run our own lives or give that control to God.
Why don't we ask for directions?
I can do this on my own.
God knows the future, and He loves us. Until we give Him control of our lives, we're lost.
Admit it, dear. We're lost.
No, no, no. It's just around the corner. I can feel it.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Hi, I'm looking to serve God.
Wonderful. We could use help in the nursery.
No, I'm not into diapers.
Well, how about greeting people at the door?
Too smiley. Don't you have something better?
Teaching Sunday school?
Too much work.
Serving soup at the rescue mission?
Oh, too greasy. Don't you have something that would impress my fellow Christians, wouldn't let my friends know I go to church, and it would be nice if I could do it in front of the TV? Got anything like that?
Not if you want to serve God.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, tonight I want to give parents opportunity to also share something. Whatever they've learned or their comments or contributions, and I think I have 20 minutes to do that this evening. All right, so 0546-898-888. And you can send your messages to the same number or to my number as well, 0244-638-757. You can send your messages there, and then in the call you can use 0546-898-888. Yeah, and we'll continue from there. So basically so the other aspect of parenting, as we've been discussing, less desire to pray for them. Last week we spoke about it extensively, but let's really, really make it a point to pray for them more than ever before, because the attacks are a lot. The devil is really after their souls, and we need to secure them. We need to pray for them. Prayer is a major tool that we all know that that's what we can use in the midst of all these complaints and the challenges and the worrying and stressful things we hear about happening in the schools. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. And if we are to pray, there is a God to answer. And I believe it's so important we look at it seriously as parents, because we just can't fold our arms and just look on for the devil to run riot in our families and just affect the lives of these young ones, because it's so important. You know, we have to do something. We just can't throw our hands in the air. And it's important we see it as a priority now. Prayer is so important that we should maximize the power that comes with it. And the next key thing which we'll be looking at as well today and God willing from next week as well is, you know, the word of God. The word of God is so important, because if we don't guide them, the issues of, you know, their quiet time and all that, parents have a role to play. We have to. So having a daily, you know, whichever book you buy for them, whichever one you use, we should help them to be able to do their quiet time every morning. It should be something that we nurture it in them, because if they don't grow up with that lifestyle, then be assured that when they grow up, it's going to be difficult. Because now the adults who didn't grow up with the mindset or with the culture of doing quiet time, so it's a difficulty for them. But it's important we let them understand the importance of it and see the reasons why they should be doing quiet time every day. And for those, see, if the children are in the boarding house, for instance, like the boarding SHS or whatever, a boarding house, it should be a key thing you check on if they are doing the quiet time, follow up with some questions if indeed they are doing so that you can, you know, because you just can't assume they are doing it. I mean, that's one of the biggest mistakes you can make. Assume that, oh, your teenagers or your children, oh, they are doing the quiet time, so all is well. You shouldn't assume at all, because they can play tricks on you, pretend they are even doing it and they are not. So there should be communication. You should be able to test them on it, talk, discuss with them. Okay, today what did you learn? Okay, so where was the passage? And then what did you learn? Okay, what are the lessons in it? Then you also give your inputs. And there should be communication. There should be discussions around it. See, because if we don't get involved in their space when it comes to these virtual things, and we just allow them to go their own way, they can be going their own way in the wrong direction, because there are also wrong doctrines that they can be hearing from school. A friend says this, that. So if you don't come in to correct that issue, that whatever the friend said, which may be wrong or is wrong, and you just assume your child, can know what is right from wrong. Sometimes doctrine can be tricky. So even adults can fall for wrong doctrines. See, so if adults can even fall for wrong doctrines, why should we assume that it's safe to allow our children, the young teens and all that, to just decide on doctrinal issues? It's an error to just leave them to chance. Leave it to chance like that. We should be in that space to guide them correctly. Because, you see, there are some who started right. They were going to SU, they are doing right, they are doing well, they are praying, doing their quiet time. Then they hear something or someone gives them a book. Now there are a lot of books that some being used. Pastor Billy talked about it on one of the second night or third night early when we started the series. And where some are these occultic books, books of Moses and other ones and all that. You see, and it's worrying, because the effect of these things can be devastating. Some get into the realms of, mental issues and all. So you shouldn't just assume that, if they get exposed to some wrong doctrine, they'll be fine, they can handle it. No. How do you know they can handle it? Yes, you may think they are equipped enough, but we shouldn't assume things. We shouldn't play with these serious issues. We should address it appropriately and let them know what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong. We should let them understand it effectively, because, you see, if we don't bring these discussions to bear and let them understand the dangers involved, they would be giving the book. There's a case I know of. It was a teacher who gave the book to the students in the secondary school. You see, so when, and there's something about children from primary to secondary and all, junior secondary and high school and all that. Children trust teachers. There's a high level of trust when it comes to information. So you have children who tell you, teacher says this. So far as teacher has said it, it's difficult to correct it, teacher got it wrong. It's like, so far as it's about the teacher said it, it must be fine now. It must be correct. That's the perception. That's how children see them. See, so when a teacher who is on the wrong side of spiritual things, like into occult and all that, some other strange religions and all, invades the space of your child, it's a very difficult issue, because you are at home, your child is at school, and this child is at school with the teacher. And if the teacher decides to invade the space of your child, give your child a book, now decides to, communicate, ask questions, the child asks questions, he answers, he or she answers, but you are at home. So it's by prayer and discernment or whatever divine revelation to you that you may know that something is happening. Because if your child doesn't tell you that, this is this. I mean, some teacher has given me this book, and you may not know. You may not know. So it's important we let them understand some of these things, that they should not cross into some territories. They shouldn't say, oh, let me just read and see what, I mean, let me just try it and see. These are the danger zones. Let them know that you don't try these things and see. No, I mean, let me just test the waters, how deep the water is with just 1 foot. Let me just test how shallow it is and all that. By the time you realize, you are sinking. And that's how it is. A lot of the people who get into these strange religious activities and occultic things, some didn't really decide to go in. They just thought they were just testing, they were just trying it, the surface. And then by the time they realize, they are deep, deep, deep into it. And now it becomes a difficulty. So we should, as parents, see the danger involved or the dangers involved and caution them appropriately. Because it's when you, the parents, is well informed that you can better advise them. Some parents had no idea about these things we were discussing the last 6 weeks at all till we started it, and it's like, hey, yeah, man, of course we will ask you. Hey. So this is the issue. This is the issue. Knowledge is important. So I thank God that we've be able to impart some knowledge into some parents who now know, and knowing these things means now they will know how to approach whatever the issues are. And we will not finish, we are still talking about it in terms of, like, we are winding down, but on the parenting side and all. And tonight I've brought a few issues to your doorstep to also talk about it. And I believe God willing, next week we'll be able to meet, get the SU executives, like, they'll be back in town, and we'll be able to continue with them. But in the meantime, this evening I've spoken about parents and the access to the devices that they give to their children, how controlled it should be, and should be able to discuss the issues with the children, especially when they are teens. It becomes more complicated. And see, that's why this issue of starting early is important. When you communicate with them, you discuss with them, when they are younger and they understand it, it's safer for you, it's better, it's easier. You see, so when the child knows that I'm too young to be on Facebook, I'm too young to be on TikTok, I'm too young to be on Instagram or whatever, and you let them understand the dangers, the harms that they can be, you know, the harm that they can be exposed to and all that, the psychological effect, the addiction that can affect the academics. I mean, let them understand these things. And if they do, it's a bit more easier to convince them to continue resisting it. So the fact that, you know, one thing that I believe we'll be talking about, I mean, as we continue the series, is the issue of training our children to be independent of the system. So everybody is doing it, but I'm not going to do it. Everybody is going, I am not going. Everybody is having it, I'm not having it. Everybody is watching, I'm not watching. Everybody is, you know, we should be able to train them to stand alone. So it's not like the peer pressure is very strong in our generation, extremely strong. So to stand is something that is so important that parents, one virtue that parents should be able to discuss at length with their children, to let them understand how and why it's important to imbibe these lessons, because it makes a lot of difference. It makes a lot of difference knowing how to stand in the midst of everybody else going the opposite way. You alone, you are going right. Everybody is going left. You alone, you say it's wrong. Everybody says it's right. It's like it can be a difficult and a very troubling situation, because it may look like you are wrong. Because, I mean, the easiest option is like, how do you expect everyone else is wrong and you alone are right? I mean, come on, that pressure is like, how can we all be wrong and you alone, you are right? You see, so it's difficult to defend that position. But when the child has been taught to be able to hold on to whatever position they believe in, hold on to their beliefs, as a Christian, you know this is wrong, so this is what you stand by. It doesn't matter what the society says, it doesn't matter what the system supports, I'm standing by what my Bible tells me. If we're able to teach these things to our children, it will make a lot of difference. Because you see, had a lot of the people who have fallen prey to the temptations at school, had they been taught these values of being able to stand in the midst of temptations, being able to resist the pressures from the system, everybody thing, they could have defended their faith by standing their ground, because this is what I believe and this is what I stand for. It doesn't matter what people say, I still stand by it. If they were taught that, they would have been able to resist and not be in any lifestyle that is very untoward and doesn't glorify God. So that's why it's so important that we look at these things and help them to learn it. Because it's so important that one of the things we should be helping them along the way is, I mean, we've spoken about it earlier in some of the editions, but I mean, in summarizing it, is being content. Last week, Brother Sammy spoke about it as well. Contentment. You see, it's so important, because it's one of the things we are seeing in this generation. People are not content, so they want everything that everybody else also has. So in chasing after what everybody else is also having, they are still not content. No, they are still not. It's always like they need more. So the more they have, the more they are dissatisfied. So the more they go chasing, then the more. You see, so it's like you are digging deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, and there's no end. We should be able to help them to understand that it's important to be content with whatever you have. If you don't have, fine. If you have, fine. But be content with it. Because no matter how much you have, there's someone who has more than you. There's always somebody who is richer than you. There's always somebody who has more than you. So if you are looking at what others have, then you will never be satisfied in life. Because you would always see people who have more than what you have. Nicer things, bigger things, whatever. But if we don't step on the brakes of contentment and say that, well, I don't have this, but what I have, I'm okay with it. I don't have it, and if I don't have it, I'm still okay with it. This is one of the biggest virtues if a child is taught, especially in this generation, in the secondary schools. It will save them from a whole lot of things we were told about in the last few weeks. Because that is one of the key things. Contentment. Because they are not content with what they don't have, or like whatever they have, is drawing them into the various lifestyles. Because some are going into the occultism because of money. They want more things. They want this, they want that, they want this, they want, you see, they are not content. And this is why we should, as parents, add these to the values that we train our children and we teach our children. The messages, sometimes when you leave the studio, then that's when the messages start coming. Okay, well, time is almost up, and I think, yes, we can end it here this evening. Thank you for tuning in to Spirit 88.3 FM. This is Eben. It's recorded. It will be uploaded to spiritissues.info and to the Telegram group as well. So God bless you, and God willing, next week we'll be continuing our edition and the series as well. Good night.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.